So a question to start. What are you most passionate about? You know, do you have a hobby or an interest that drives you, motivates you? I love sport, all sport, but I have a passion for rugby. It's probably because it's the only sport I was any good at, but, you know, I have a passion for rugby. Passions actually are good things. God has given us so much to enjoy. You may have several things that you're passionate about, but what should be our overarching, number one, all-consuming passion? If you had to narrow it down to one thing, what is the thing that drives you? For Paul, it's very clear. In this letter, which we're looking at over a few weeks, Paul, he's exuberant. He's joyful because he's writing about his passion. He's talking about what drives him. Paul's passion is the gospel. Remember earlier, the gospel, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's Paul's passion. That's his all-consuming passion. Just briefly, just skim through the verses. We're going to look at them more slowly, but just skim through the verses on page 1178 that we've just read. I'm just going to pull out almost a word from each verse and just see this passion coming out all the time. Verse 12, he's concerned about the advance of the gospel. Verse 13, he's in chains for Christ. Verse 14, proclaim the gospel. 15, preach Christ. 16, the defense of the gospel. 17, preach Christ. Same in verse 18. Verse 19, deliverance, which is the same word for salvation. Salvation comes from Christ. 20, Christ exalted. 21, to live is Christ. 22 and 24 actually are talking about labor and work. His labor and work is for the gospel. 23, be with Christ is what he's interested in. 25, joy in the faith. Faith is in Christ. 26, boasting in Christ Jesus. Every single verse pays passion flowing out. And I think the phrase in verse 12, go back to the start of the reading, it sums up Paul's passion beautifully. Paul's passion is the advance of the gospel. This passion for him is all-consuming, it's totally life-transforming, and actually I think it feels quite shocking when you get his context. Paul, he doesn't react in ways that we'd expect to react because the gospel changes who he is and how he reacts. He reacts to hard times and good times, abuse even, and good news, always with the advance of the gospel in mind. That is his passion. That's what drives him. His example is inspirational, but only as it points to the glory, the wonder, the brilliance, the magnificence of Jesus as revealed in the gospel. It's the gospel, the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ that is his passion. So we're going to look at his passion and see perhaps if we can catch the same bug that he's got. His passion is, firstly, is a fearless passion. Proclaim the gospel, a fearless passion. Look there at verse 12 again. Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Now this is a shock. Simon helpfully pointed out the start. Paul, he's in prison writing this. He's in chains. He's chained to guards. There's a distinct possibility that he's going to be executed. And what has happened has actually served to advance the gospel. Being in prison, being in chains, has advanced the gospel. He's got a fearless passion. He's in prison and he wants the guys he's writing to know that the gospel is advancing. He's not concerned about his own, the injustices he's facing, that his own imprisonment. The gospel is advancing. And firstly, as non-Christians hear the gospel. Look at verse 13. The whole palace guard has heard about Christ. That's, we know, several thousand people, possibly as many as 9,000. The whole palace guard, they've heard that Paul is in prison because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Not all 9,000 would have met Paul, but you know, as they rotated the duty of being bound to Paul in the chains, they'd have met Paul. And as they clocked off, they'd do what all soldiers tend to do as they're off duty. Rob, probably true for you. Go to get food. You go to the mess. You sit down with other people. And as they're sitting there, they're sitting to their mates and they'll say, well, I was guarding this prisoner today. He was different to all the others. He wasn't angry. He didn't complain. He didn't try to persuade me that he was innocent. He just told me about this bloke called Jesus, ... And the news about why Paul was in prison spread throughout the whole palace guard. Over time, it became clear that to everyone that he was in chains for Christ. The gospel advanced externally to new people. But it also advanced internally within the lives of Christians. Look at verse 14. Paul's imprisonment inspired fearless proclamation of the gospel. Look at verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So these are Christians not in prison, being more fearless in proclaiming the gospel because of Paul's imprisonment. Paul's passion for gospel advance was infectious. Thought, even chains isn't going to stop him telling about Jesus. Jesus is so important, I can do it in my context, is the kind of thought process that they've been going through. They proclaim the gospel without fear. Keep coming back to this, and I keep, when I'm doing looking at this letter lots, Paul's context. Think about his suffering, the injustice that he's facing. He's in prison, chained up. And then think about his fearless passion. His never-ending desire to proclaim the gospel, to tell people about Jesus. His inspirational example ignited a similar passion in other Christians. And their passion spilled out of them as they talked to others about Jesus Christ, fearlessly. How do you react to Paul's passion? British people were not very passionate, so it might be the wrong word for the whole sermon, but, you know, suck it up. How do you react to Paul's passion? Maybe Paul's context does seem a bit distant to ours. He's in prison. I've never been in prison. I've visited prisons. He was a first century Jewish guy. I'm a 21st century British guy. How do I apply his passion, his infection? Maybe it doesn't reply very well. I find that hard sometimes. But this fearless passion is displayed in many Christians around the world today, each day, every day. We can see the examples of other Christians who are so enraptured by Jesus, they'll tell others about Jesus, whatever the context they're in. It's one of the reasons, actually, I love reading Christian biographies, and that's one of the reasons, to be inspired by their examples. I find their stories inspirational. It's a huge motivation to catch their passion. Nikki and I, next slide, I would have it to hold up, but we've given it away. We've just read this book. We died before we came here, and it's written by Emily Foreman. That's not her real name. She and her husband went out to a North African country to proclaim the gospel. He was killed. It's a kind of a modern Through Gates of Splendor, if you have read that in the past. And it's just an extraordinary book of a couple just saying, well, we're just going to go and tell people about Jesus. Absolutely extraordinary. And I can thoroughly recommend it to all of you. And when we get the book back, I'll share it to someone else. But the passion they had for proclaiming the gospel to the Muslim world is infectious. And it inspired me to think, how can I talk to others about Jesus in my context? We've got Paul's example. We've got other people's example. What is going to inspire you to catch the passion, to proclaim the gospel fearlessly, for the gospel to advance? Will you be inspired by Paul's example here and share the greatest news the world has ever heard? Will you look at Jesus and be so passionately enraptured by him that you can't help but talk about him? Or is your passion for Jesus just a bit cold and dull? there is nothing more important than proclaiming Christ. It's an important passion. Secondly, an important passion. Proclaim Christ, in verse 15. Paul has told us in verse 13 about and 14 about positive reasons that people have been encouraged to speak about Christ. But he also points out some negative ones. Look at verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. And then on to verse 17. The former, this is the ones who preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. So there's a group of people who are going around, I think, talking about Jesus, but basically in their sermons were saying, Paul, what a failure, he's in prison, he's rubbish. And anyway, we're better preachers than him. It's just that somehow they were having a go at Paul while they were telling people about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in Paul's position, I think I'd want my friends to try and go and stop this other group of bad-mouthing me, having a go at me. But Paul is extraordinary. He doesn't care about his reputation. He doesn't care what people actually think about him. His thoughts and feelings, they're secondary. Look at verse 18. Paul says, but what does it matter? Isn't that an amazing response? Whatever someone's motive is to talk about the gospel, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that Christ is preached. Verse 18, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul is in prison rejoicing. He's rejoicing because Christ is preached. What's important is that in every way, Christ is preached. Now, this is a little aside. Very importantly, it really, really matters to Paul that what is preached is true. He has very, very strong things to say in other letters about people who preach a false gospel, one that doesn't match the biblical revelation about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has a lot of hard things to say to people who preach a false gospel. But these guys, the ones who are preaching for wrong motives, are still preaching the one message of salvation found uniquely in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Christ is preached in every way, he is rejoicing, even while he's in chains. For Paul, the gospel always trumps self-interest. His passion for Jesus and the advance of the gospel is revealed by what he knows is important. Verse 18, the important thing is that in every way Christ is preached. Always, all the time, all context, the important thing, Christ is preached. This is what a passion. What an example for us. So just think about your own life. Think about the busyness of your life. You chat to someone afterwards, how are you? Oh, quite busy. Would be most people's first line. Even the students might even say that. Think about the people that you meet day by day, week by week. The important thing is that Christ is preached. For those of us like me who do school drop-off, school pick-up with our kids, some days, it's true to say, we're so rushed, the kids are playing up, we're trying to disown them rather than talk to others, and the best we can manage is a kind of a grunt to say hello to the other mums and dads. And that's okay. There will always be days like that. But if that's all that ever happens in our conversations, if they never get beyond the weather or the football, can we really say that we believe that the important thing is that Christ is preached? Think about how you might be able to have a conversation that goes from the mundane to the important things in life, the gospel. How can you build relationships for this to happen? They don't need to be your best mate. Paul didn't know the guards next to him. Have a coffee with someone. If you've got kids, arrange play dates for them. Invite them to something. What about the barbecue? 7th of July. Great opportunity to bring them along to something. It doesn't matter what. Just do something. The important thing is that Christ is preached. And preaching Christ isn't about standing up in, if we had a pulpit, but I've written pulpit, in a pulpit, talking to people for 20 minutes about Christ. That is preaching, but that's not what he means here. Preaching Christ is simply talking to someone else about your passion for Jesus. Why you love him, why he's important, what he's done, who he is. His life, his death, his resurrection, his return. How about those of you who are in full-time jobs? You spend lots and lots of hours a week with the same person. Within the context of being a good employee and doing your job properly, how can you get to a point where you're talking about Christ? Don't make work about serving you and your career. Make it about advancing the gospel. God miraculously brings you the same person to sit next to you each day, every day, for weeks on end. How are you going to share your most important passion with them? Now, the truth is, I'm guessing some of us are now feeling a bit burdened and guilty about this because we haven't done it. I feel that. I understand that. The truth is, none of us are going to get to the point of talking to other people about Jesus Christ until we really believe what Paul is going on to say from verse 19 onwards. We'll only proclaim the gospel and preach Christ when our all-consuming passion is Christ. When he becomes the center of our life, then our passion for him will automatically flow out from us. A serving passion to live is Christ. That's what Paul goes on to say from the second half of verse 18. Throughout this final paragraph in this section, Paul's passion is expressed in serving Jesus and serving others rather than serving himself. It's all about other people or all about Christ, not about him. Remember, he's in prison, but even so, his concern is for others. And his concern is expressed in passionate service. And this passion is summarized beautifully, I think, in verse 21. In fact, this whole section about his passion for gospel advance is an outworking of verse 21. Verse 21, Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That verse encapsulates everything about Paul. And we'll think about that verse a bit more in a moment. But he knows his life now is about Christ. His future life is about Christ. Christ is his center, his focus, his identity, his passion. Verse 19. Paul knows that, if you read their prayers for God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Literally, he knows that God will save him. That's what deliverance means. Either through being released or through death. Whichever happens. Verse 20, Christ's exaltation is the key. It doesn't matter to Paul whether he's vindicated. It doesn't matter what happens to him. If Jesus is exalted, nothing else matters. The focus and glory go to Jesus, and what does it matter whether Paul lives or dies? He has a serving passion. It's all about Jesus and serving him. And that serving passion is shown in his attitude to others, other Christians. Verse 22, he knows that if he's freed from prison, well, then God's got a job for him to do. He hasn't called him to be with him yet. He's got a job to do. It would be better for him if he died. If he died, he'd be with Christ. Verse 23 says, "I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body." And because his passion is for the advance of the gospel, and he expresses this passion in serving others, he's happy to live and work. He doesn't mind if he stays around, even though he'd prefer to be with Jesus. Because verse 25, Convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. He's willing to forgo being with Jesus for their sake. He wants to build them up to help them make progress and joy in the faith, as he puts it. He wants them to abundantly boast about Jesus. That's more important than him going off to be with Jesus. He can help them to do all of that. Paul's passion, it's a serving passion for the others because the gospel drives him to do that. Paul's passion is a fearless passion because the gospel is vital. And Paul's passion is an important passion. There's nothing more important. How do we get a passion like that? I find it attractive in other people when I read about that book I talked about earlier. How do we get a passion like that? Well, very simply, believe verse 21. If you can echo Paul's words for yourself there, then your overarching, all-consuming passion will be the same as Paul's. Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you're a Christian, whether young or old, new Christian, old Christian, whatever it is, to live is Christ. What is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, want you to be doing right now? And not just right now, but every moment. Tomorrow, school gate, in Tesco's, at work, at home with the kids. To live is Christ. Jesus is God himself, who loved us so much to die in our place so that we can be free forever to be part of his family. He's made us his already. To live is Christ. Because of who he is, what he has done, we love him. We should be enraptured by him. We should exalt Christ. What would your life look like if it could be described as Paul does in verse 21? Can you sum up your life in that one word? Christ. Now, whenever the Christian life, and I have to say, sadly, it's too often for me, doesn't feel as attractive as that, it's because I've lost sight of who Christ is, and therefore what life with him is actually like. When I focus and see Jesus, I think, yes, that's what it is. At those times, I need to focus on Christ. To live is Christ, and Christ is compassionate and gentle. His heart goes out to the suffering and oppressed, the marginalized. To live is Christ, and Christ is humble. You could just read, don't read it now, but chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, the most wonderful verses about Christ's humility, how humble he is. We'll think about that actually at the barbecue. To live is Christ, and Christ is quick-witted. He always turned conversations on their head so he could speak gospel truth. To live is Christ. Christ is truth. He didn't water down the gospel. He proclaimed what was important fearlessly. To live is Christ, and Christ is love. He loved you to the end, all the way to the cross. To live is Christ, this is the one who lives in us through his Spirit. This is the one who's in control of all things. This is the one who died for us. This is the one whom we're secure for eternity. This is the one whom we know, the one we live for, the one we praise, the one we labor for. For to me, to live is Christ. And because of that, Paul can say the next bit. To die is gain. He's better off dead than alive. Now, this isn't a cry of despair at the awfulness of his life in prison. Not at all. To die is gain is because being with Christ in eternal life is so much better than this life. However good your life is now, the life to come is better. Paul wants to be with Christ, and that'll happen when he dies. But until he dies, his job is to live for Christ. Do you believe this? Can you say with confidence, to die is gain? My dad died 22 years ago. I still miss him, but I'm not sad for him. He's so much better off. He lived with Christ as his Lord. He departed to be with Christ. His death was for his gain. To die is gain. And we actually put this, verse 21, on his gravestone. Having this attitude about death utterly transformed his life, and it utterly transforms our thoughts about this life, what we do. We can live for Christ. We can face opposition, ridicule. People might think that we're a bit strange and deluded for having faith in Jesus. We can face any and all of that. Why? Because we know our life is secure with him, now and for eternity. When we're so enraptured by Jesus, we can say with confidence, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We can face anything the world throws at us. More than that, if this is true for us, then we'll automatically end up talking about Jesus. We'll ensure that Christ is preached. If our passion, our overarching, all-consuming passion is Jesus, if we love him the most, we'll talk about him the most. So can you be like Paul and make verse 21 your passionate mission statement? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.